see you this morning, and I hope and pray that everything is going well for you. It is so good to see Shirley Whitlow with us this morning. Proud that she is doing some better. Shirley, God bless you, and we love you. Pray that you just continue to get better and better as the days go by. Bonnie Ellswick is with us as well, and Bonnie, it's good to have you back after your surgery, and we pray that your healing continues to go on, and God bless you, and we love you. And for all of those that are here today visiting or have been out or back today, we're thankful for your presence, and God bless you. Let's continue to pray for this congregation, welcoming the Edwards family and praying that everything goes well and that is a wonderful union. And may God bless us all in everything that we do. This morning, as we think about the blessings of this Memorial Day weekend, we understand that there are some things in the life that we should never forget. In fact, when we think of those things, that is a remembrance within itself. Memorial Day is a great day. It's not a religious holiday or emphasis, but there's nothing wrong with remembering. Remembering is, in fact, folks, always right. And God is the great example for us in remembering. Genesis chapter 9, He put the rainbow in the sky. Why? To remember the covenant that He made with His people, never to destroy the earth again by water. Exodus chapter 2, when the Hebrew children were in Egypt, He heard their cryings and their groanings, and He remembered the covenant they made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses is telling the nation of Israel, the Hebrew children, before they enter into the promised land, they should not forget God once they get into that land that is overflowing with everything that is at their fingertips. And so, remembering is always good. In fact, what a blessing we were able to experience just a moment ago. And I hope and pray that your mind was focused like a laser beam on what Christ did for us all those years ago on the cross. We do that in remembrance of His sacrifice. Don't just brush over that or just go through the motions. See that as a focal point in your week and continue out all through your life to show the world around us that the death of Jesus was the central event in the history of time as we know it. In fact, when we think of memorials, we appreciate what's been done for us in this country. What about all of those men and women that have died and given their life in sacrifice so that we can do exactly what we're doing right now? Thank God for that. Oh, what a blessing it is to live in this country. I know there are many great countries around the world, but I'm thankful, and I know you are as well, that we live here today. I can't help but think of the words, and excuse me for using the words of a secular song, but it comes to mind, and I love the song, "I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me." Amen to that. For all the veterans in our audience today, we give you the honor that you deserve. We thank you. As we think about, though, even a greater memorial today, we understand that there are many memorials throughout Scripture. And yet, when we think about that, I want to draw your attention to Acts 17. Turn your Bibles there. Acts 17, beginning at verse number 22. We'll go down through verse number 31 so as we can remember what Paul encountered when he came into Athens, Greece on his second missionary journey. He came into Athens, Greece, and he was waiting there for two of his companions, Timothy and Silas. And while he was there, he began evangelizing in the marketplace and among the people. And, well, the theology, the philosophy of the time, the Epicureans and Stoics, they listened to him. They invited him up to what is called Mars Hill, about 370 feet above the floor in Athens, the ground level, 370 feet, that big rock. That's where the civil decisions were made and the governmental things were decided. The philosophy was shared. And it was a meeting place that, had a significance about it. So they invited him to speak concerning this new doctrine that he was teaching. And yet he called attention to the many memorials that were throughout the city, but he singled one out and he focused in on the one and only true God. Well, folks, the world needs this admonition. The world needs reminding. And just as Paul preached so many years ago in that city of Athens, Greece, we see the same emphasis is needed today. Listen to Paul as he shares what was needed then and what we need today. The first thing that we see there is a reminder that God is. Paul stood in the middle of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Folks, all we have to do, according to Scripture, is look around and understand that God is. The invisible things of His character are completely understood by the things which are made. That's Romans 1 in verse number 20. Psalm 19 in verse number 1. The heavens declare His handiwork. The heavens declare His glory, and the firmament declare His handiwork. Pick up a child and look in their eye. Feel the heart beating in their chest. Look at their hands and feet and come to a conclusion that just happened? Oh no, folks, that did not just happen. God made that. We did not crawl out of the primordial ooze and develop into what we are today according to the theory of evolution. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, the theory of evolution is just that. It's a theory. It's not fact. Scripture is fact, and Scripture says that God is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and void was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and folks, guess what happened? There was light. Now, was it some amoebic development that created that light over eons of time? No. What happened? God is. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, there we're told that faith is the substance, that is the foundation, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. But without faith, verse 6, we cannot please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Folks, we are because God is. Do you think the world needs to hear that? Folks, we need to hear that more and more, and take it to the highways and the byways and the friends and the family. You see, that is the greatest memorial that a Christian can afford. That's the great memorial of the Divine Almighty. Go a little bit further and see not only what we are reminded and what Paul reminded the Athenians. First, he said, God is. But then secondly, I want you to notice, God does. God is not inactive as the Epicureans believed. They thought that God was so distant and transcendent that He would never have anything to do with humanity, and so that was their theology. The Stoics, though, they believed that God was in everything. God was in the wood and in the carpet and in the steps and in the banisters and in the plants and in the screen. God was everywhere. You see, they had a different theology. Paul set them straight. Well, listen to what he said. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. But He gave to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they might seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, for though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain, Paul said, of your own poets have said. For we are His offspring. Paul goes on in verse number 29 by saying this, For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that God does. God is active in His world today. He is not so transcendent that He will not hear. He's not so distant that He does not care. And I'm here to tell you and remind you here this morning, and listen to me carefully, God is here with us today. Now, doesn't that bring a greater element of what we are doing when it comes to worship? Paul said that God cannot be worshipped with men's hands, can't be worshipped with a building or things that man has made. I'm proud of our facility here. Are you proud of it? I am. I'm proud of it. But folks, if that storm that came through last night leveled this building, took it down to the very ground, I'm here to tell you the church here would still exist, right? Because you see, this church is not this building. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud that we have what we have. Oh, it's comfortable, isn't it? It feels good in here today and soft and that kind of thing. Thank God for those that have come on behind us that have provided for what we have today. Thank God for that. Folks, I'm looking at the church right now. This is the church. The church will experience good times, and there'll be times when the church experiences things that are not as good. Ups and downs, ins and outs, we understand that. You know, in times when they get tough, a lot of times that affects the way people live and act and react. You know, when times get tough, sometimes people quit praying. They'll quit worshiping. They'll quit studying. They'll quit giving. They'll quit growing. And that's wrong. To let an outside source determine my inward faithfulness is wrong. I grow from the challenges of life. I think of Job. I go back to him quite often because, you see, he experienced life's things. Job had lost everything. He had lost his job. He had lost his retirement. He had lost his possessions. He had lost his 10 children. He had lost his friends. He had even lost the support of his good wife. You would say that, my, bless his heart, that guy had gone from bad to worse. You would say, with a man that had lost so much and was under such difficulty, how would he act? What would he say? Have you seen people act in ways that are inconsistent with truth when troubles come? Yes. Say all kinds of things that are not right. Job didn't, because you see, he put his trust in God. I know at this very moment there are some in this audience that have had great loss in their life just over the past few days. And let me say to you, put your trust in God. You see what Job did this. Text says in Job 1, verse number 20, first of all, he arose. He didn't sit idly by. He tore his clothes. Before I left this morning, I said, Polly, does this all of this match? She didn't look at my socks. Okay, I've violated fashion. I have black socks with blue pants. Will you forgive me? Job tore his clothes. He wasn't concerned with what he was wearing. Text says he shaved his head. Doesn't matter if I'm having a good hair day or not. When troubles come, hair's not my concern. Text says that he fell to the ground. I'd probably become so weak I couldn't stand. The last two words of verse number 20 says this, and worship. Regardless of the circumstances of life, Job went to God. Not only do we see what he did, but we also hear what he said. Verse number 21 says this, listen to this, and said, number one, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and that's the way every one of us come into this world, isn't it? and naked shall I return. When we leave this life, how much will we take with us? So between birth and death, what happens? He said, the Lord gave. Folks, everything that you and I have at this moment has been given to us by God. And then he said, number four, the Lord hath taken away. It's not ours in the first place, and when God chooses to take it away, He can do so whenever and however He so chooses. The last thing in verse number 21, it says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul, you see, was in Athens, Greece. Verse 16 says that it was given wholly or completely to idolatry. He was living in a society much like what we're living in today. You look around in Decatur and you can find any flavor of faith that seems to exist in the world. We're living among the same things that Paul was living in. And yet, what did he do? He went to God. For worship, for salvation, for organization, for manner of life, and for the destination of his soul. That's where he went. There's a third thing that I want to share with you this morning, and that is verses 30 and 31, God speaks. Verse 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Notice the word command in verse number 30. Folks, it doesn't say a helpful hint or a recommendation or a clever thought. It says a command. God's commands are serious and they're final, are they not? He simply said, in a world, in a time of that day where there was so many things from which to choose, he said, single out and go to the one and only true God. Quit being the people that take everything together and let that be the standard of your life. Single out God. He is the one that you are to please. Not man or your boss or your family or these kind of things, as important truly as those are. But that's not the standard. It's God. So each day of your life, when you rise, go to God through Jesus Christ in prayer. As the day progresses, see what God has to say in His Word concerning you living from day to day. As you finish the day, spend time with God in knowing what your future is going to be and learning and studying, and let that be the guide not only for your faith, but also for your practice, the application. Why is that? There is a day that has been appointed in which judgment will occur. One of these days, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We'll give an account of everything that we have thought, everything that we have said, everything that we have done. Some of those things, we pray, all of those things have been forgiven. But we'll stand in judgment one day. May that be like the passage that Paul gave to Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman that needeth not to be what? Needeth not to be ashamed. On that day of judgment, I don't want to stand there with my head hung low in shame for what I have left undone or what I have done in opposition to the will and the Word of God. No, folks, judgment. And let me emphasize, judgment is coming. And that day could be today. And if it is, are you ready? Folks, we understand that the blessings of God are imposed upon those that do the will of God. Thank God for that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 7. The Hebrew writer was very clear. Jesus, even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the eternal author of salvation unto all them that obey him. John said in the Revelation, blessed is he that doeth the commandments, for he shall have right to the tree of life, and he shall enter in to the gates, through the gates into the city. If you and I can come down to the end of our life and say, we have been obedient to God, what else will matter? Oh, we have so many things for which to be thankful. May we never forget. Paul reminded, and we have been reminded today. It's my prayer that if you need to change your life to get right with God, that you'll do that repenting. Could be that you need to obey the gospel plan of salvation through living faith, that you'll repent of your sins and confess the good name of Jesus, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to the church. You'll be on your way to heaven. You've done things and you've strayed away from Him, that you'll come back. Come back to God. And if that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.